I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks, and welcome back to the show, Monday Night Shaw, right here on Wind Column Sports Network. Joining me this week for the next installment on Newfoundland Wrestling Month, it is Dynamite Dylan Davis. How are you, brother?
I'm great, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, you know. I had a really nasty phone call earlier with the people that take care of my car insurance, but that's neither here nor there on the wrestling podcast. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
Yeah. So basically, the way this all got worked out was I had Cameron on here because Cameron's used to wrestle in Alberta with us, right? So he's actually been on my podcast a couple of times. But he just wanted to come on again and give a little update since he moved to Newfoundland. So I had him on. And then after the interview was over, he's like, well, do you want me to see if I can get any other guys to take part in it? And you were definitely one of the guys he mentioned. And he was like, he put you over as like one of the main draws there out in Newfoundland.
Yeah. So when he asked me about it, I'm always up to like, you know, sort of tell my story or just even chat about, you know, wrestling. So when he asked me, I was like, yes, man, let me know. And I'm down for sure. I always love to, you know, maybe like meet new people, like, you know, I guess now being you are, I guess now friends based on this. So like, you know, it's all about networking too. Right. So, I mean, I'm always for it, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
As for, I guess, one of the main draws for me, like, I don't see myself ever as the like main draw here or like one of the main draws. Cause like, I believe everyone here has a value on the island. So I'm very much on the like team aspect of like everyone's the main draw, if you know, if that makes sense, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, like I say, I don't really know you very well, and I mean the impression I got was that that perhaps you didn't actually live in Newfoundland, that they brought you in from outside on a regular basis.
So I actually wrestled in Newfoundland first. This is where I'm from. So I wrestled here roughly from like 2008 up until like 2016. And that's when I actually moved, to the Maritimes, to Halifax. So like, that was my, like me more or less leaving home. And when I had first left here, I was the current new Evolution Wrestling heavyweight champion. So, with that, I had the, opportunity to be back for every show. So I come back, I think it was like once a month, for the local shows. Then I go back up to Halifax and, you know, do my thing there. So,
okay. So you've kind of made your name in Halifax as well as Newfoundland. So it's kind of two different wrestling scenes.
Yeah. Two very different, but still very much the same, like in a sense where like, I guess Newfoundland is more of like an old school feel to it. The Maritimes is still old school, but more like modern old school, if that makes sense at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of sort of get where you're coming from. Have you wrestled outside of the Maritimes or Newfoundland? Like, have you ever been over here to Alberta or BC or anything like that?
Yeah, so I actually I wrestled for Squigs at RCW back in 2009.
Oh, okay.
I was there for 2 weeks. I trained with Andrew Hawks at the PWA Hangar at the time. We go there almost every day and spend hours just like training and learning.
Oh,
when I was there, I managed to work one show for Squigs, and that was my first time like out of the island, you know, for any kind of wrestling. So there's that, and then I actually first went to the Maritimes in 2011 for a tour, but I moved there and I've been to like, you know, all the Maritimes, Quebec, Ontario. I've done some stuff in like Maine, New Jersey, New Hampshire. So like in the last 4 years almost, I've been pretty I guess busy, you know,
traveled
less, right?
Yeah, that's good that you're getting so much work. So is my understanding is that like there's like one or two shows a month in Newfoundland, and like doing all these outside dates is just how you are able to fill up your calendar and whatnot?
Yeah. So more or less, like, Newfoundland dates were roughly, like, six weeks apart at one point. With that, like, I would have each weekend, most times, would be full. Most times, it'd be, like, one-shot weekends or two here and there. But with my, like, where I was working in Newfoundland, Maritimes, and Quebec as well, I was able to maintain a somewhat full-time wrestling schedule and still have, like, a real life too, which involves a real job Monday to Friday 9 to 5 kind of deal. So I was nonstop for the last like 4 years now, just making it work. You know what I mean?
Solid. So, how did you, like you said, you got your start in Newfoundland? Was that with Travis's company? With
No. So when I was first around, I was a fan, and this was like talking maybe 20 years ago, you know, I started going to the shows locally as a fan. And then I had got involved. I would hang out after the show and meet like all the guys. And then after a while, I'd go back and help out with the ring and stuff. And then just what happened, I ended up being for a while, I was a ref. And with that, I just sort of branched into like wrestling just out of nowhere. So, as a ref, I had some matches. I had like one match in 2006, like a squash match and rumbles here and there. But I had my first like real match in 2008 for Republic Pro Wrestling, which was ran by my good friend Mike Barrington. So that's where I really got my opportunity to like sort of like learn like wrestling. After that, like pretty much, I worked for what's now closed down, LCW. They closed down, I think, 2015. But I started there in 2010. And that's when it, like, went from, like, local to, like, okay, so now I'm meeting guys like Mike Hughes, Ryan McAllister, and all these guys who were, like, established workers. So now it's, like, a new level of, like, experience. So I feel like 2010 was my, like, break-in year to, like, the business side of it all. Oh, so. Okay. But that being said, Travis was the only guy locally, besides Mike, who like gave me opportunity to be the like a main event guy. You know what I mean? So he sort of handed me the ball, and I ran with it as fast as I could for a while. You know.
Right on. So I did see that you've had like some cool opportunities to wrestle some pretty famous wrestlers, like. I noticed you worked with Eugene and James Storm. Well, so who are some of the other cool like people that we may know that you've had the opportunity to lock up against?
I worked with Michael Elgin.
Oh, okay.
For the NSPW North Pro Standing A Tournament, which is a very, very, very hard fought match for sure. I wrestled Stu Grayson recently. For Seaway Valley Wrestling in Ontario. I worked with Cody Diener, great guy.
Yeah, no, he's come up for a couple of our shows too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He's so cool, dude.
Yeah, he was a cool guy.
Yeah. Who else? I wrestled the current new wrestling heavyweight champion Tyson Dukes on numerous occasions. Always a test for sure. As for like big names, I think that's really all I worked, you know, in regards to like who everyone may know. I wrestled Danny Duggan once or twice.
Oh, okay.
Me and him are really good friends as well. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it. Like I've had my, you know, fair share of like, you know, stressed out matches where it's like, oh God, am I up to the same caliber as, you know.
Oh, Elgin. Yeah, I can't imagine.
Like, it's a test, man, but you know that's what it's really what it's all about is the moments when you feel the most stress. That's when you grow up, I feel, as a wrestler, if that makes sense.
No, I 100% I can relate to that. I mean, I'm still very green, right? Like I've only been wrestling for a little over a year.
Okay.
But like every time they ask me to wrestle somebody new or something, it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to like hang with this person or whatever. And like you get a little starstruck, but then like you go out there and that person just teaches you a bunch of shit. And it's like, wow.
Yes, it's crazy. Like, it's like at the
thank
moment.
Thank you.
Yeah, for just... it's humbling, man.
It is. And I just like, yeah, like yeah. I love that kind of stuff. So you did wrestle out here for Squig. Who did you wrestle when you were in RCW? Do you remember what the match was?
Yeah, so it was this. It was just like smaller show, in this town called I think New Sarupta. Am I right? New Sarupta, Alberta. I think it was.
I haven't heard of that yeah. one, but
no, okay, maybe I'll maybe there's one around. Here, but yeah, so. We go there. It's like me, Vince Austin, Freddie Youngblood, and we were Team Newfoundland because we're all newbies. So we drive to the show and we arrive like pretty close to like you know bell time. We get there, we stroll in. We had no idea, right? So Squig's like he's like, "Where the fuck were you guys?" He's like all pissed off and stuff, and we get ready and stuff, and because. He had like there was nobody there for his show. Yeah, for some reason he had like a skeleton crew or less. So we show up there and he tells us that our matches. I believe we did a rumble, and we did a tag match. I believe it was me and Fred against Big Jess, and at the time he's Damien Uggs.
Okay. Yeah.
And we also did a 6-man tag at the end. So.
Oh, wow. So you worked triple duty that night.
Yeah. So.
I've worked twice on a few RCW shows, but yeah. Never three times.
Oh, he had no one there, but,
was there like a crowd there or was
it? Oh yeah. Like... I mean like for some reason he didn't have. I think he didn't have enough guys on the roster for like a full card. And then after the fact, he had some issue. Apparently, so the local hometown guy he had on the poster rose an extra zero on his check and cashed the money and all this drama behind it all. But, you know, I digress. It's a. You know, it's what it is. So we just move on and learn. Okay.
And these kind of problems, I would imagine, are not exclusive to Alberta either. I you've probably run into that kind of stuff working in other promotions as well, eh?
But you know what? Gladly, like I'm happy to like say like in the last few years, I've definitely heard more stories from the past about like you know carny stuff like that than I've seen recently in a number of. How many years now? Because I feel like those ways are like slowly dying out. Thank God. And I feel like people are starting to do like good, actual like good stuff to like grow a business, not kill it, you know, anymore. But I've definitely seen and heard my fair share of shady businesses on that end for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I just want to like make it clear, like I've never been like totally boned over by Squig or anything. So like. Yeah, that's like, who knows? The truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You said you wrestled in the Maritimes there, and I was just wondering, like, did you have any involvement with the reality show that was on the Fight Network there a while ago where they were following around all the Nova Scotia wrestlers and stuff?
Was that for the wrestling with reality?
Yeah.
So that one was like sort of before my time. So that was back when I was sort of a fan, but that was more or less my my introduction to like wrestling outside of like Newfoundland and how close it was, right? So it was these things like watching that where I seeing guys that I've worked like later on like Lincoln Steen, Mike Hughes, Brody Steele, like. So for me to be able to watch that as a younger lad wanting to be a wrestler to wrestle these guys was definitely a trip for sure, right? So I wasn't a part of wrestling back then. But I definitely seen those, every one of those episodes more than once.
So you're familiar with those characters and stuff, though?
Oh, for sure. I've worked with most, if not all, other guys on those shows. Most of them, not all of them.
Right on. And you've also, like, your name is Dynamite Dillon. Like, do you have any, relation to Dynamite Kid or anything?
No, so, I get asked this a lot, too. I used to be, my old gimmick, back in, like, 2011, I was brand new, so Mike Hughes, he sort of gave me the Dynamite name, so, because I used to wear tights, the high socks, you know, I had my head shaved, I was in way better shape than I am now, so I looked like a younger version of the Dynamite Kid. So we're on a tour, and Mike says, that's going to be your new gimmick, so I thought, okay, cool name, but no, he meant for me to be the full-on British, so I go out, and I invest in the Union Jack trunks, and I wear those red tights and all this stuff, and I'm British for a while. Not very long, but I was British for a minute. My accent was horrible, so that didn't last long at all.
Yeah, even just talking to you, like, you clearly have a Newfoundland accent, and then trying exactly. to play a London accent on top of that, I would imagine it sounds out, like, it probably comes out sounding kind of Frankensteinish.
Yeah, I sound Irish at best, okay, then that's a very, you know, like, not, but, so, that lasted a few months, maybe, but that's where I got it, and I just never changed it ever since. Now, mind you, I've definitely thought about it because I thought about it a lot too. Like, me using his name is, I don't want it to seem as a form of, like, disrespect in any way. It's just something that I've kept with me because he was a huge, reason, like, as to why I am a wrestler, because he was one of the guys I watched as a kid. I go back, I'd find his old tapes, I go online and buy the old Irish video things of him and, you know, back in the day against, like, you know, whoever it was. So for me, it was just me saying, like, thank you for everything he's done.
Well, I mean, wrestling, it's, right? it's the fucking Dynamite Kid. Like, he's
exactly.
an influence is undeniable on the entire sport. Like, people now wrestle more like the Dynamite Kid than they do like a character like Kamala or Hulk Hogan or anything. You know, there's more Dynamite Kids in the business now than there are like big unagile people. You know what I mean?
That's right. I remember, like, being a big guy used to be the end all, like, you know, be all of, like, becoming a big star. But nowadays, man, it's like us small guys, man, we're getting these opportunities, man. We're finding them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's like the big guys are more rare. You know, like AEW doesn't have like a ton of big guys. There's like maybe three or four guys on the roster that are not like cruiserweights, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so like there's no shame or like, I don't think any ill will in you know, naming yourself after like one of the greatest influencers of like professional wrestling. Like, there, how many Nature Boys has there been, you know?
Exactly. It's right, man.
Yeah. So you said you went from being a referee and in battle royals and like small squash matches to just kind of becoming a wrestler. Like, was there like any official training involved, or it was just kind of like you picked it up as you went along? Like, how did you transition from reffing into actually like becoming a full-time like competitor in the ring?
So it's very much like we learn at the show when the ring was up. You learn like bumps or run the ropes or very like basic things, very like ABC things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there was one summer where there was a ring up in someone's backyard. And I went there every day for hours and bumping around on the ropes, just doing stupid shit as a kid. Okay. Right? So after a number of years as a ref, just hanging out with everyone, I was sort of just thrown in there because back then, everyone locally had a chance to become something. Like, they could all be a wrestler. It doesn't matter how bad some guys wanted it, right? So, you know, that was the after that, after some shows, I was thrown in there. And I had some matches that were horrible. Like, I had one of my matches, my first matches, I ended up breaking one of my toes.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? So, like, it was definitely a very slow, uphill battle at the beginning.
Yeah.
For me to keep, grasp anything, right?
Yeah. Sounds kind of similar to, my experience. Like, you know, first thing is, you know, I was the ring announcer for a long time, so eventually you just start learning a couple of things before each show. And then I ended up training with Hawks in his backyard. Like, he had a ring set up in his backyard, and
Hawks is an awesome guy.
Yeah, man. He trained me for 3 months, and then it's Alberta, so once those 3 months were up, it started snowing, and that's why we had to stop training. And then Hawks moved back to Newfoundland, and then it was just kind of like, well, you know sort of enough that you can be in these, squash matches and stuff. So I did that for a while. And then in September, I did another round of training with Michael Richard Blaze.
Nice, man. That's solid.
Yeah. It's been really good.
Two great guys,
man. 100%. And, I've been so thankful for the extra training because, I need it, right? I'm still, definitely not where I'd like to be as a wrestler, but, I've definitely grown a lot too. And I just think that your story about how you trained in a guy's backyard and just with one of the guys that would help you out. That's cool that goes on in other places as well. And it's a unique story to, you understand what I'm trying to say?
You'll always find those guys who are willing to help you out. Like, I remember even when I was new, Hawks was always one of the guys that had my back to sort of help me grow. We've had matches here and there, and when I was there, I stayed with Hawk, and he was one that got me into the ring every day for hours on end, and we train. And now to this day, me and Hawk are very, very awesome friends. Like, he's one of the guys that I rely on for a straight, honest, view on anything, right? So for those guys to come along, it's a huge help to realize how real wrestling is too, as well, right? I find when you learn, by being tossed into the fire, it's either, get out or you burn a little bit, and then you learn from that little burn, right? So it's definitely a more unorthodox form of learning how to be a wrestler, because nowadays the big thing is go to a school and then go from there. So, even after this day, when people ask me, how do I become a wrestler, I go, you know what? Find a school that's got a good reputation for, making, helping people grow, or be successful in this stuff, right? Yeah. So, even though that's not what I did. Now, mind you, once I started wrestling, every seminar that I was able to do, I always did. So, seminars with Joey Mercury, Billy Gunn, Tommy Dreamer, and this goes on and on and on and on, right? So in the last 12 years, I was able to pick the brain of so many incredible workers that it's unreal.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, one of the things that I like you can't train for is your crowd stuff, right?
Right.
You can only learn how to work in front of a crowd by working in front of a crowd.
Right.
You know? I think that kind of stuff is really cool. Have you been helping to train any of the other younger fellows that are now out there that are guys that look up to you? Obviously Cameron and Jeremiah Denver, they all put you over as one of the main guys out there.
Oh, these kids are great. I told him to do that, I told him to put me over. For me, I'm not home as much as I was last year for shows. I recently just came back after a 16-month hiatus from here. So, I think I've worked 2 shows so far. So I haven't had a chance to be around to help out. But when I am here in town, when I'm here at shows or whatever, I do try and help out the guys as much as I can, because I see how hungry they are and how bad they want this. And I feel like, why not at least offer the advice that I've learned on my journey, I guess, you know what I mean? So, but you know, that being said, up in Halifax, we do have our own, like our area, we have our ring up at all times to go and train. And luckily for me, like, I'm able to be someone that some of the guys there look up to as well. Which for me to have that is kind of very humbling, because I never see myself as like a role where people ask me for help or advice. So a handful of guys up there that always ask for help, like got like Casey Williams will ask for help, and like Cody Boggs, Jeff, you know, Sabotage guys, who else? The Legit Boys, who are all trained by Lance, like, you know what I mean? There's a handful of guys in up in Halifax that are just as hungry as like Cameron and Denver and all these guys. And yeah, it makes me feel excited for like what's going to happen for everyone down the road when they use this new fire and put it towards like growth.
100%. One thing, like obviously like the current situation going on in the world with the coronavirus and, you know, we're all still on lockdown. I mean, at least we are out here. I think they've announced like a staggered comeback system, and we're in the first stage now. But like, when wrestling does come back, and like when you get to go and do your first show, are you anticipating it being like a huge big like event that everybody's going to want to come see, or are you kind of worried that it's going to be like, oh, I don't know if I want to go sit in a big crowd after, you know, with the possibility that somebody might get us all sick or something, you know? Like, what do you think is going to be the situation when wrestling actually returns?
So, it's weird for me. So, I've been, like, back and forth on my answer for this one for a long time. So, the part of me that's, like, optimistic and, like, yeah, we're going to, you know, beat this. It's like, yeah, we'll have a great turnout. It'll be, like, WrestleMania, everyone's going to cry. Get fans be thrown. It'll be epic and huge, right? Yeah. And then there's days where I feel like I'm very like I there are days where I am concerned for like the future, or at least the next year for pro wrestling, for everybody, you know, for those guys who rely on this for the main source of income and life. I worry for them every day, you know what I mean? For me, I'm lucky where I'm able to have a real job too as well, and a source of money that's coming in that's not based on just that alone. Yeah. So I had that, but like for everyone who doesn't, I feel horrible for it. This is crazy. So I'm hopeful. And so I guess, and meaning that I believe that we'll have big crowds. Like, again, it'll be healthy once everyone feels safe to do so. I feel like it'll be made very clear that the world is safe to go out and do that again before anyone does anything big anyways. So I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm really optimistic too. I mean, just having everything shut down, like, of course it sucks, and like, just the whole thing, it's just a bummer situation all around, right? Like, it's not only wrestlers, but like even like professionals, like you can't go watch a hockey game, you can't go to a concert, you can't go to any kind of live crowd attended event right now, and like,
it's crazy,
it is definitely a bummer. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I mean, wrestling isn't my primary source of income. Like I have disability and whatnot, so like I get a check from the government usually, but like the money I get from wrestling supplements that small amount of money to be enough to get by on. And then with the wrestling gone, it's a struggle.
Exactly. Like, I hear you.
But I mean, it could be a lot worse. Like, you know, I could have to work in a hospital and could be like at a way bigger risk of getting sick or something, you know? So like, there's like it's hard to sit here and complain when, you know, you got it a lot better than all some other people, you know what I mean?
It's very true. I always say, whenever I feel like overwhelmed or anything, I always say in my head, it could always be worse. And even though it's very like overstated and cliche, I do feel like that saying helps most days when you're feeling like overwhelmed by just like life in itself, you know?
Hey, everyone. Sorry to interrupt, but my name is Anthony from the WrestleSode podcast, a member of the Win Column Sports Network. WrestleSode is a podcast that dives into the Albertan wrestling scene by reviewing local indie shows and interviews with all the amazing talents that we have around here. If you want to know what's happening in Albertan wrestling, then look no further than the Win Column Sports Network and the WrestleSode podcast. Thanks for listening, and I hope to hear from you soon.
Yeah, for sure. Have you had any dealings with Vid Vane? Do you know him?
Yeah, so again, so Vid Vane was just before my time. When I was a fan, I actually seen Vid Vane. He's from Bishop's Falls, Newfoundland. He had moved, I believe, to BC.
He came to BC.
Yeah, he came. He came back for a show with Cutting Edge Wrestling. And they had a small, I think, two-day shot one weekend. I was a kid, so I bought an 8x10 off and stuff. And he had signed, he said, Dylan, and, from Big Vid. I thought it was the coolest thing ever, man. He had a sign with a gold Sharpie, and I was fucking pumped. I was like, yeah, Vid Vane! He came out to, like, a remix version of Hell's Bells or something like that, and I was amped as a kid, man. So I thought he was the coolest guy ever.
Boy, that's solid. And then of course you're familiar with Vince Austin, eh? He's a staple out here.
Austin is the man.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people.
Dude, okay, man. So back in like 2008 was when like me and Gorse are hanging out. And dude, we would have our shows down to the bar, down to our junctions. And he would always go back to Gore's apartment, gather around and all the boys, and watch the shows every time. At one point, I was injured from a accident, and I was off work and stuff, and very like in bad shape. But every day, I would walk down to Gore's house, and we would sit down, chill out, and watch wrestling, man. Or he'd turn on some deal with the air guitar and stuff, but it was always a pretty cool environment to go, right? You know. He's definitely a very solid cat, man. Like, my early years in wrestling was, like, you know, him, his harsh truth, like, helping you learn, right? Oddly enough, though, the first match I remember seeing, like, locally in Newfoundland, I was in grade 5. I was 10 years old. And Gore's daughter, Liz, was in my class. And she gave me two passes to their show in the Ghouls that weekend at a school. Me and my dad go there. And I think it was like 99. And I walk in and the show starts. Boom, boom. All of a sudden, I remember seeing Gord wrestle Sailor Whiteman. And it was the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life, dude. Like, they were fighting outside the ring and everything, and there was like music playing in the background. Like, I think it was like Boy Zombie or something playing. They fought outside in snow and shit, man. They came back in and fought again. I was fucking hooked, man.
Was it a bloodbath? Like,
oh, man. No, it wasn't a bloodbath. It's very clean in that sense, but it was like bare knuckle, like hard knocks of wrestling that was like, which is why like my style, like now today, isn't fancy. It's very like hard knocks, like bare knuckle brawl style, because that's what I watched back then. That's what I watched to get me hooked to this stuff locally, which in turn grew for myself outside of this island as well. So yeah, man, 99. I think it was St. Kevin's High School in the Ghouls, but that's when I first seen wrestling locally. It was Gore versus the legendary Sailor White.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, man.
Because me and Gord, we often, like, we'll drive together, right? Like, if we live in Edmonton, so if the show's in Calgary, I'm usually the one that goes picks up Gord, and we go down together. And it's always a pleasure to have him in my car, because he tells amazing stories. And he's an absolute madman. There's no doubt about it. And I remember being scared to death the first time I had to wrestle him. I was like, is he going to just, like, murder me out there? sure enough, it's pretty physical, but he's taught me a whole lot of good stuff too.
He's very safe. He's a very safe guy, man. Even though he's very intense, but that just makes him, you know what I mean? But he's not reckless. He's very hard, not sure, but he'll never hurt a guy, You know what I mean?
No, I, like after that first match, like I realized, oh, I can absolutely like trust Gord without any hesitation. In fact, we had a match recently and I took a pile driver for the first time ever. And it was in a match against Gord, and I was—he just explained how to take it, and I was like, "Okay, cool. Like you've been doing it for 25 years. You know, you're not going to hurt me. You know,
yeah.
So like, I love wrestling with Gord, of course, or Vince Austin. I shouldn't use his like legit name. I don't want to upset him.
Got ya. No, but for real though, it was funny though. I've never worked Vince Austin in a match before.
Oh, really? Oh, you're
never
missing out.
And it's, you know what? It would be my absolute honor to be able to like wrestle him at least once before, you know, he or I stop doing this. I think at like my rate now, I think he'll be going on long after I'm done. But Gord never ages. He's just he's like a fine wine, you know. He gets better by time.
Yeah, he just gets meaner and grizzled. Like he did the deathmatch tournament last summer. He went to BC and did a deathmatch tournament. I was like, oh my god,
that's his element though, man.
Oh,
he
loved
crazy.
It.
He is crazy, in the best way though. But yeah, I mean, we've never touched one on one ever, or even in any match really, which is very sad because I feel like. Everything I've done here on the island, that's one thing I'd love to check off the wrestling list to wrestle Vince Austin, because he was a very big part of like wrestling here back in the day. He was the guy that made it happen. You know, he's the guy that continued on the Sailor White legacy and made cutting edge wrestling what it was, right? And man, he was sent out the armory every show, dude. It was definitely a crazy atmosphere for sure.
Yeah, everybody that I've had on the podcast from Newfoundland has put over Gord as an absolute legend over there, and my sense is that he's infamous, you know?
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Like beyond famous, infamous.
Infamous, man. He is just, you know, when you say wrestling and Newfoundland together, that's the name everyone here knows is Vince Austin and Cutting Edge Wrestling. And they remember those, you know, old T-shirts with the blue, red, and black word on it, with the blood running down the words. You know, that font, that Cutting Edge Wrestling font, is like Newfoundland wrestling history in three letters. You know what I mean? And Gord's the guy to like thank for, I guess, putting like Newfoundland wrestling, out there, I guess, in the world where people knew what it was from other places around Canada.
Yeah, for sure. Did you get a chance to watch WrestleMania this year?
I did. I watched a bit of it. For me, it's very weird. I wasn't really into it. I don't know. For me to say that is like, you know, as a wrestler, you should always watch the current product, watch what, what's hot and what's not. It was one of those things. I watched half of it, and I said, I'll watch the rest later. I never did. Maybe I'll go back now during this whole, like, in quarantine, and then watch it all for what it was to see, you know.
Yeah, did you get a chance to see the match with The Undertaker and AJ?
I did.
And what did you think of how they laid that out and everything?
You know what? Given what's going on and what they had to work with, I think it was very different. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. It was definitely a different feel to like wrestling, but almost like a modern day boiler room brawl, you know? Just way better equipment, way better planning for it too. So I think it was done very well. I think that they told a pretty good main story for what it was and how much time they had to build their big story. So I was at first I was like, I don't know. At the end of it, I was like, okay, well, I can see it being like a new thing now, a new normal for like wrestling is the recorded, scenes or whatnot, almost like a movie or a show, right? Because after all, I guess they go back and say, well, it is sports entertainment. So, you know, that could be the new normal, you know, for years it was sports, but it was like, it was mainly the sport of wrestling with a bit of, drama or acting. But now it's like sports entertainment to the fullest. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think like, I think there's some benefits, like as far as like Undertaker is concerned, like you can really hide any like weaknesses he might have, right? Like he doesn't have to go full bore the whole 15, 20 minutes. They could go shoot something, take a break, then gather themselves, shoot something else, you know, like shoot it from multiple angles and just use whatever looks best. Like it really opens up anybody that might need to be protected to having that safety net there. I mean, not that I would make any accusations that the Undertaker can't go anymore. Like,
but still, it's fucking Undertaker. Safe, right?
But yeah, no, like, I thought that one was pretty good. I wasn't too keen on the Bray Wyatt and John Cena thing. It was kind of like the same idea, but
that was kind of weird, though. Eh? It was too much. It was too like scripted or too hoagie or something like that. I want to say hoagie because I'm a big fan of like both of the guys. It was cool to watch. But I was definitely, I thought it'd be like a little more, but I hate like talking about anyone who's doing anything more than me in like a negative sense, because again, they're doing more than me.
I definitely, like, I'm not hating on the match, like,
yeah,
as the talents in it, like, they were fantastic, but it was just, like, some of it was, like, written really awkwardly, like, if it's supposed to be a match, like, at the point where Bray Wyatt can, like, physically voodoo John Cena into only taking a swing at him and ducking every time, while Cena's, like, ruthless aggression, he did it, like, 8 times. And every time Bray Wyatt just ducked, and it was like, well, if you could control his bodily functions, this is not really a very fair match, you know? But that was like where they lost me on that one. But I did think it was creative how they had all like the Nitro set and the old blue cage. Like it seemed to me too, like maybe they had gone to like the WWE warehouse and were just looking for like cool shit they could put in the video. Like,
yeah, it was Cena like the most
joining the NWO. It was really weird.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I don't know who it really appealed to, because, you know, it's very like kid friendly, but then it referred to like things the kids nowadays wouldn't understand or wouldn't get, you know, like NWO and stuff. Maybe they understand, but they don't understand like we would, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I'm excited to see what's gonna happen going ahead like next. Like Like they had this Money in the Bank match now coming up too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Like, it sounds like it's going to be like wrestling crossed with Die Hard.
Dude, no, I called. I said, have you seen Ready to Rumble yet? The movie.
Oh yeah. Okay. Many times.
So you remember that like the story behind that, and then it was this big like a cage match where it was up to the top and they climb. Now, this is I called this week ago. I said this is going to be the same plot as Ready to Rumble, and I guarantee you'll see David Arquette come in, you know, him and Sting from a, you know, chopper somewhere, swing down, grab that fucking belt, and he's going to be the new world champion.
If somebody comes in on a helicopter, that fucking 5 stars right there. Oh, you use a helicopter in a match, like hell yeah! Like
watch, it'll be Sting and David Arquette, and then you'll see it now, man. I can see it now. So I called it, man. But yeah, Rumble 2. But you know what? Again, it's one of those things that I know is not like the wrestling I'm used to as a kid, even as like a teen. But it's definitely something new and different to look forward to and watch myself. But also for the younger, newer fans. Nowadays, it's a new chance for wrestling to be very different and exciting for them as well. Because I think nowadays, you know, with the iPads and the get all the, you know, stuff, the Xboxes and all that stuff. The kids nowadays don't appreciate real wrestling. So you gotta throw in these weird things here and there, keep them in there, because otherwise they won't want to watch it. But maybe this is me. Maybe this is my random thought of the hour.
Well, no, I mean, like, it makes sense to me. Like, you always have to be presenting new ideas. I'm sure at one point, like, the idea of a ladder match was, like, fucking ridiculous, you know?
Exactly. And now, it's like, hey, man, let's climb the headquarters, bro. Let's climb the headquarters and get that fucking belt. It's like, okay. You know, like, what's next? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I am quite looking forward to that. I do hope it turns out to be, like, Die Hard crossed with wrestling. I think that'd be fantastic. And I do legit want to see somebody get like thrown off the building, but I want to see like the shot of them hanging there by their arm, and then they're like, please help me up, and then the other guy just like lets him go by like can't hold him anymore and he just falls. Like, and they do that long shot where the guy's like slow motion falling towards the ground. Yeah, that'd be amazing.
And like when they fall, it's like in the cartoons of like Wile E fucking a coyote, it's like just a like dust cloud. It's done. I'm good. Wrestling, yeah. Great.
That's one of the things I love about wrestling is like there's so much that goes into it. It's not only just like an athletic endeavor, but it's like a performance endeavor as well. Like, of that kind of stuff, of like the performance elements or the athletic elements, like what do you consider to be like, or at least, I mean, you've been doing it for a long time now, so I'm sure you've gotten used to everything, but like when you were first starting out, what was the most challenging aspect of becoming a pro wrestler?
I think it's weird to say, but like finding myself and that meaning like the character, or finding a gimmick that you could portray that's believable and that people will remember. You know what I mean? It's very easy to like fall into like wrestling as just a wrestler that nobody, you know, knows because you're trying to be cool and serious. But in reality, it's the gimmicks and the characters that make the wrestling memorable again. So yeah. For me, it was finding my character, finding what worked for me the best. That was probably my biggest thing. Next to that, like a close second would be like confidence. You know what I mean? In every aspect.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's like standing up for yourself or like taking the next like step to like move away to, you know, be, you know, better. It definitely always be confident, and that was one of the things I lacked for a very long time.
And how did you eventually come around to learning that you know you might have to put your foot down once in a while?
It's just after a while you realize if you don't, people will like walk all over you. So like the last couple months of LC, the last like back in like 2015, I was working here for a guy named Dan Bjorkdal. And he wasn't doing very good business. He ran LCCW. So he was being very shady. So this is when I started working for Gold Travis.
Mm-hmm.
I made a point to stand up for myself and the boys who worked for Dan. Because Dan wanted to set a rule that if we work for him, we can't work anywhere else on the island because it's not good for him. But, you know. So I argued to the point where I said, no, this is good for everybody, you know, for everyone here is able to eat now, you know? So that was the only time where, well, not the only time, but that was the first time where I actually like made a point to be like, no, I believe in this and I want this.
Okay.
And I believe there's a right way and a wrong way to like ask what you want or make a point, and I've done both. So I've learned both sides of it all. So I believe, you know, in the last 4 years, I've been smart some things. I made some very stupid choices as well. I learned from both of them. So, well, all of them. But I just believe, you know, it's all about learning from your, you know, mistakes, or even the things like you do right. It's all about just growing. You know what I mean? So I also learned just there's a way that you need to, what's the word I'm trying to, discuss like what things you believe in, because most times if it comes out the like wrong way, it could be misconstrued as like ego or you're trying to just, you know, big shot yourself. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. And so that was kind of a ramble, but I hope I made the point clear towards the end.
We did the because the Top Talent Wrestling Academy that's run by Heavy Metal. Supposed to open up last month, but we just did the first seminar, and it was with Ethan Page, right?
Yeah.
We did this. It was on Sunday, and like there was one point where like the question came up of like, how do you like deal with people who are like, you know, real negative and whatnot? And he was just like, you tell them to fuck off. Politely. You know?
Yeah.
And I just thought it was interesting. Like it's true. Like you do have to like figure out a way to politely tell people to fuck off when that's the thing that needs to be done, you know?
Each one, yeah, and if they don't fuck off, then you use the fuck off. You know what I mean? You always give them a chance first. It's like give them one, give them two, and a third, fuck off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Cool. So you obviously like have been around for a long time. I'm sure you've held lots of championship belts, and you know you've traveled to outside promotions. You've worked with like big name stars. So like, what is next on like your bucket list of things you want to accomplish in your career?
So what I want to do mainly is once everything's all back to the new normal, I want to fill up my schedule again. But I would love, like, my goal is to get over to England, to overseas, to the UK. I want to work that style, that kind of schedule. I want to go there, and I know if I go there, I'll come back 10 times better than I am now.
Yeah. Is the European like wrestling style something that really appeals to you, like more so?
Always
than...
has, yeah. Even like going back to like the like dumb kid, cast star wrestling is like an art form, man. It's so good to watch. Like you know, like nowadays wrestling is very like, you know, not very hot, spotty, quick and cool stuff. It's really great, but like, man, if you watch some good cast stuff, you get lost in that shit, man. It's really good stuff. It's just they have like a full schedule. Like I know some guys from over there, and they work sometimes three shows a day. You know what I mean? It's very busy. I believe that's something that kind of like stress and stuff is what like I need right now in my life to go to the next level as a worker or as a wrestler, as some guys rather say. So the UK is definitely up there. You know, I would definitely love to just get out there more again in Canada again. And, you know, currently Flip Gordon has the NSPW Maritime Championship, which is I was the former champion before Mad Angel. So I'll have a little side goal is to get my one-on-one match with Flip Gordon for my Maritime Championship.
Oh, okay. I've heard of Flip Gordon for sure.
He's so good, man. He's phenomenal. Like,
yeah, wrestler. He was on All In or whatnot, right?
Yeah. He's in ROH as well. Very great guy. But again, he has this certain style that I feel again would help me get to that next level. And I always say the next level because I feel like wrestling is constant growth, every day, every aspect you do. So when I look for opportunities, it's other for the ones that like cause me the most like stress. So I know that like at the end of it all, I'll come out stronger, right? So, my goal is UK, Flip Gordon, and I guess I want to be around to help again the newer guys come up to something good, you know what I mean, or come up learning the right thing. So I don't have any like big goals, I'm sure. Most guys say I'm gonna go to the WWE or get signed by AEW, but you know, again, I would love to be signed by AEW, but I'm more real to the point now where I'm here to help those around me while I can.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah, but my, I think it's
a little extra difficult for Canadian folks to get signed to those companies because it's a lot of extra paperwork for them to, you know, use Canadian talent as opposed to, like, just American talents and stuff, right? So
it's true.
Like, it makes becoming a Canadian wrestler that breaks out into the American scene is just, like, because, like, you not only have to be better than the other Canadian, like, wrestlers, you have to be better than, like, all the American wrestlers, right?
Exactly. And there's a lot of them, too.
there's a ton of them. Yeah. Have you ever had any experience, like, working dark matches or, you know, anything like that?
No. Unfortunately, no. Like, you know, of course, we sent in our applications and stuff for the tryouts for last year for SummerSlam, but we never got the phone call back for that. Which is okay. It was still kind of cool to get the email to ask us to send in our stuff. But no, I guess, you see, the thing is, it's all about where we were, too. You know what I mean? So I spent most of my time wrestling here in Newfoundland, where no one knows where it is. And it's so hard to get there. And I moved to the Maritimes where I was still very new to, like, wrestling outside of Newfoundland. So when I first moved to Halifax, so I don't think I was ready for any kind of look or anything. Even now, I don't feel I'm ready. But, again, that's, I always feel like I'm not ready. So it's nothing new, I guess. But, no, I've never had any dark matches or any opportunities like that at all.
No. Okay. Well, I mean, is that something you, like, definitely wouldn't turn down if it came your way, eh?
Oh, I would, every opportunity I would go after. That's sort of like why I sort of, I changed my look a little bit. I used to wear, like, the, like, tights and stuff, like wrestling gear. But then I went and I changed it to, like, jeans. So the jeans I wear are much like the Moondogs back in the day. Very classic tag team. Shadow White was in it. So, like, me wearing the Moondog pants is sort of like a thank you to a legend from here, you know?
Yeah.
Shadow White. So, yeah, it was, that's it. But,
oh, that reminds me. You brought up the Moondogs, and that reminded me of Vince Austin again. And,
yeah.
Have you ever wrestled Kind Man?
Oh, you mean Matt Martin?
Is that his
name?
Matt Martin?
Yeah, Matt Martin, yeah, yeah. No, so I never had, but he was one of the guys that wrestled when I was a fan. There was a show once, this is a little side story for you, a little funny thing, but...
awesome.
So I was in the front row at a show once, and Kind Man or Matt Martin, or I think it was Catastrophe at the time, I think. So the spot where... Magnus hit him in the head with a bottle. I think it was a bottle of Jack Daniels. I think it was gimmicked to break, but it didn't break.
Oh.
So Magnus hits Matt Martin once, ding, didn't break. Twice, ding. Comes to hit him again, it, like, slips out of his hand, and then the bottle, like, it falls, hits the floor, didn't break, but it bounced on the bounce when it landed, when it, like, hit the ground after a bounce, didn't break.
I feel like I've actually got, like, a DVD around here of, like, the Best of Mankind, and you're literally describing, like, one of the matches where Sabu, like, tries to hit him in the head with a bottle of beer or something, and it takes, like, four times before the bloody thing breaks. It's like,
oh, man.
Matt, like, Kind Man, you haven't studied good enough. Like, don't try and use a gimmick bottle. Like, that's gonna suck, bro.
But I'm pretty sure, like, in his defense, I'm pretty sure Magnus told him it wouldn't break. And I think Matt Martin insisted that he use the bottle. So, you know, it is what it is. I guess heard, lesson learned.
Boy, well, I'm just happy that I'm learning more about Kind Man. Like, Vince Austin was telling me, Carl, you should be the new Kind Man. I was like, I don't know, Gord.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, we've gone just under an hour here. Did you want to hit your? Is there, first of all, is there anything, like, totally obvious that I should have asked you about, but I haven't?
No, I feel like we can always do another podcast, tell some more stories. I think we can do another few of these. We can just tell some road stories or whatnot. Or, you know, I think this is just for me to sort of get my name out there to help you out as well and sort of introduce myself, you know.
Yeah, it's like a mutually beneficial thing for me, like you coming on here, like that hopefully will get you more listeners. People out here in Alberta will be more aware of who you are, and then you being on the show will hopefully get more listeners out in Newfoundland to check it out, you know?
Yeah, we can, and again, like I said, we can always come back down the road and do some more of these, you know, episodes and go into more stuff, more stories, but I guess for now, I just want to, like, I guess, mention my social media. So
yeah, 100%.
You can follow me on Instagram at Buddy Wrestles. Same thing for Twitter, Buddy Wrestles. I'm on Facebook at Dynamite Dylan Davis. And if you're looking for some new Dylan Davis merchandise, you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Dylan Davis. And I should have a new logo up there within the next 48 hours. Something brand new that's only going to be on that website for the time being. So other than that, man, I have, of course, no shows coming up anytime soon. But yeah, that's really all I had to plug right now is my pro wrestling tee store that I'm proud of.
Hey, no, that's really solid. I've been looking to set one up there myself. I'm just, for some reason, PayPal, there's been somebody hacked my account or some nonsense. No. Or I don't know what's going on, but I can't seem to access my PayPal account. And so I can't set up a Pro Wrestling Tees account without a working PayPal account. So I'm trying to get to the bottom of it all. But, like, I recently changed phone numbers. And some of the things you try to, like, go and say, oh, yeah, no, this is me. I'd like to change my password. They're like, oh, well, we're going to text you a code. And it's like, oh, you're texting that code to my old phone that I don't have anymore? Thang. Yeah. So now I've you know, there's like a waiting period or something. So hopefully, I think after the 10th, my information, I don't know if I should put that out there because who knows who hacked my shit. But hopefully by the end of the month, I'll be able to get a Pro Wrestling Tees account set up. Like, there's been a lot of people wanting Canadian Goose t-shirts.
Oh, man. Yeah. Get that there. Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Give the goose, man. Give the goose.
Yep. I got a couple of different ideas. Honk if you're horny. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Honk.
Give the goose, man. Give the style. Goose.
Yeah. Give the goose. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, anyway, I want to thank you again, and we'll definitely get you on for a part two there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Awesome. Yes, thank you for having me on this. Thank you for letting me talk and ramble on for an hour. I appreciate it. I love hearing myself talk most times. So
you should start a podcast. Talk to Spencer but Love. He'll put you on.
If I do one, I might outshine yours. Then what happens, Carl? Then we're not friends no more.
Well, then we'll have to fight. We'll get it booked somewhere.
Dynamite versus the Goose?
Yeah.
Dynamite the Goose.
You'll kick my ass, but...
Kick your ass.
But...
All right, brother.
Alrighty, thank you very much. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
And you'll have found the stopping grounds of all my friends and me. Just take a little piece of PEI and old Saskatchewan, Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland.